When God made man, he put into him two strong passions, fear and love. And we ask ourselves the question, why do we do what we do? Because we're afraid not to? Afraid of the consequences? Or is it because we love that constraining force and do automatically because of reverential awe? So we have these two passions we're going to talk about today. One is with human nature, and human nature says we fear, we're afraid, as opposed to spiritual nature, which is we love Him. Law generates fear. Grace produces love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. That's grace. In the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord dominated. Fear. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. I recall when I was in the Army, a few years ago, wasn't it? When I first got to the base, the sergeants were brutal, shouting, threatening, angry. They were beating us into submission, and as we were in basic training, we had the same fear. Don't you dare disobey me. Don't you dare even think about doing anything on your own. You are under me, and I am your master. I will throw you into the brig. And these threats were always over us. If we disobey, we're going to be punished. Or the ultimate is, we will give you an ultimate discharge, a dishonorable discharge, which means we lose our citizenship of our country. Fear. We were afraid, deathly afraid. In 1 John 4:18, we have this ray of hope. Perfect love casteth out fear. Well, there are two ways of teaching. We learned this when we went to university. You can threaten the student. If you don't get this thing right, you're going to have to suffer for it. And we were afraid. Or there is the teacher who loved us. And we would study hard because we wanted to honor that loving teacher. There were dictates of God in the Old Testament under law. For those who obey, God will reward them. For those who disobey, God is going to punish them. And the punishment was, of course, eternal damnation in the lake of fire. The word fear in the Bible comes from only one Greek word, phobos. We get our English word phobia from it. We have various phobias, hydrophobia, all kinds of phobias. But that word phobia does change its meaning according to the dispensation you're in. Back in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira were members of the church in Jerusalem. They had believed, they had been baptized, and they were told to sell all they have and put into a common store, and distribution would be made according to their needs. But sell all their property, keep nothing back. Well, they sold their property, but they kept part of that price back, just in case. Peter confronted them, one by one. Ananias first. Did you do this? Yes. Why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? And he fell down dead. A few moments later, his wife Sapphira came in looking for her husband, and Peter confronted her and said, did you and your husband agree to do this? Oh, yes, we did. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? She fell down dead. In verse 11, great fear came upon the church and upon all those who heard of what happened. Great fear. If you disobey God, this will happen to you. You will die in your sin. That's law. But in Philippians 2, verse 12, Paul uses the word, and I read the verse, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, when Paul was with them, they would obey him. But in his absence, what would they do? And Paul heard that they were obeying even when he was gone. But he said, obey with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. Manifest it. Show it to others. Because if you don't, how do you expect God to honor you? Answer your prayers. How do you expect that? They were to love God because he put his love in their hearts. Remember that verse we had in Romans 5:5, for the love of God? The love of God, his love, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. I recall hearing years ago, there was a quarterback at the university where I was attending. He was one of the greatest in the nation at the time, Tommy Frazier by name. And every one of the football players had a stud in their ears. They thought it was manly to have something in their ears, and he would not have it. So they asked him, why don't you do what we all do and have a stud in your ear? And he said simply, my father would disapprove. But your father's not here. I obey my father, even though he's absent. My dad doesn't like it, nor do I. The stronger constraint, we said there are two strong passions, fear and love, and the stronger of these is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. It's the strongest of all passions, and we find in 2 Corinthians 5:21 the love of Christ. Notice it says love of Christ, his love that is shed abroad in our hearts. His love constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But that verse begins, for the love of Christ constraineth us more than mere love for him. Love not the world, but love the Lord. The sinful world is seen. Romans 3:18, for there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't even recognize him. What's going to happen to them? Condemnation, the lake of fire. There was no fear of God before their eyes. And he's speaking of Israel back in the Old Testament under the law. But we consider both definitions, don't we? There's a fear and there's a reverential awe. Before one accepts God's gift of salvation, he must realize that God is a judge. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, so says Hebrews. But before you have the good news, or before you will accept the good news, you have to realize the bad. There's a fear, afraid of God's punishment. Then there's the fear of the Lord that we have, that we will do his will out of love. The wages of sin is death, so says Romans 6, verse 11. But thankfully, the verse goes on, but the gift of God is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. But notice, the wages of sin is death. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Not the fear for God, not to be afraid of him, but the fear of God will manifest in our lives and will constrain us to perfect holiness. How great is your respect of God, your reverential awe of him? The natural man would be unnatural for him to love God without his love indwelling. Notice that verse again, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And if you are an unbeliever, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And any love is going to be fear. You'll be afraid of him. It's more than what we read in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. That's a reciprocal love. But now, because we have the new nature, because we have the Holy Spirit and his love shed abroad in our hearts, we have a controlling motivation of his life in us. Remember that passage in Galatians 2:20? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He lives in me, and he is love. His love is shed abroad in my heart. So we respond with the fear of God. We would never dream of displeasing him. Is that true in your life? Do you ever displease him? Embarrassing question, isn't it? Ask yourself, is Christ doing this in me, or am I the one doing it in my own desires? Romans 7, verse 17, Paul says, when I sin, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Because I have Christ in my heart, I belong to him. I'm not the one who's doing it, but it's Christ who's going to constrain me. And if he doesn't, I yield to the sin that dwelleth in me. You see, as Christians, we have the new nature, yes, but as Christians, we still have the old man, which must be crucified day by day. That's why Paul said, I die daily. In Romans 8:15, as the new man in Christ, as we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ and into his body, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that intimate term of our Father who lives in us, and his love is shed abroad in my heart, and we have his love as a constraining force that we might do his will because we love him and he loves us, and that love, Abba, Father. But then, if you don't have Christ in your heart, there's the fear that God's going to judge. And his judgment is not only true, but his judgment is real. And it's much more stringent than we can imagine. An illustration of this is in Luke 21, verse 11. This is prophecy concerning this old world of sin. What's going to happen after we're gone into heaven? Well, let's see. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs there shall be from heaven. Oh, the horrors of God's wrath! The fear of this is designed to turn hearts to God. And thankfully, in some cases, they do. But others don't want to read it. They don't want to think about it. God is love. He would never think of sending wrath upon man. But because he is love, he loves those who have his love in their hearts. He loves you and me as Christians. We know that because he answers prayer. We know that because Christ liveth in me, and his love is shed abroad in my heart. But for us who have his love in our hearts, his love constrains. For we are free from the wrath to come. Praise God. By grace we are saved. And in Romans 13, render therefore to all their dues. Honor to whom honor, fear to whom fear. Render to all their dues. And what is due to God? Our lives. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or, as that word really means, reasonable worship. We love him because his love is in me. We ought to obey God rather than men. Set our affection on things above. Affection, desires, love, a constraining force. Set your love on Christ. No, we aren't afraid of him, but we have his fear in our hearts that we might do his will out of his love that constrains. Does his love constrain you? Are you allowing it to do so? Or do you love the things of this world? We love him. He loves us. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen.